The closing day at Calder, the Grade 3 $100,000 Tropical Turf Handicap was won by Silver Medallion. Three-year-old colt in the first crop by Badge of Silver. It was his third stakes win. Broke his maiden in his first start as a two-year-old at Saratoga, and later that year won the Eddie Logan Stakes at Santa Anita. In his first start at three, he won the Grade 3 El Camino Real Derby, and he is placed in the Commonwealth Turf Stakes at Churchill. Badge of Silver is also the sire of, in his first crop, graded stakes winner and grade one place King Kanji, Hollywood Park stakes winner Sparkling Style, and stakes place Silver Leo. That was at Woodbine. In his second crop, now 2 years old, he's the sire of Fly Alexis Fly, a multiple grade one stakes winner in South America, undefeated Doug's Buddy, winner of three stakes in Canada, and El Romano, stakes place at Calder. In other stakes last weekend, it happened again. A 5-year-old son of Proud Clarion won the $150,000 Claiming Crown Jewel Stakes at the fairgrounds. And She's All In, a 3-year-old filly by Include, won the Ladies on the Lawn Stakes at Remington. Badge of Silver, a multiple graded stakes win of over $1 million, by Silver Deputy, stands for $6,000. Proud Citizen, $7,500, and Include for $12,500. Fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses, with possible breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing product.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we're here at the Thoroughbred Center at the Clocker Stand. Good to be on at the regular time again.
Amen. Tired of that getting up early and all that foolishness.
Yeah. I get here, of course, at when the track opens at 6, and no workers. And now it's warmed up a little bit, and here they come. They're still working out there.
I know. We're way down the second page.
Are we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have that many. 24?
I don't know.
Yeah, before the break, I think. So we.
Yeah, we got one working now. Did that thing break off yet? Not quite.
We got Matt Howard up here. He'll probably screw it up, but anyway.
Oh, that's here. Let me get that.
Go ahead.
He got it.
He get it. That was the clocker phone running. All right, well, what are we going to do today? Well, Jerry Duffy from over at Windstar is supposed to stop in. He's in charge of stallion seasons. You want a free seat into Distorted Humor, or Tis Now, or Spritestown?
Get behind me.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't be putting it on the air. I'd be over there first in the door.
Right.
But anyway, he's supposed to come by. He's newly arrived over there, so I wanted to get him over. There goes the clocker phone again.
That's what you get for putting in a second line.
Dr. Doug Byers is supposed to stop by with Michael Blowen, of course. And Doug does our vet segment, and Michael Blowen is from our good friends over at Old Friends. We're still trying to get off with 1958. Haven't been able to start yet, but we want to do First Landing. He was a champion 2-year-old that year. He was a son of Turn Two. Steve Moody is doing the Fairgrounds handicap and sheet. They're running a bunch of stakes for Louisiana breeds down there. It's Louisiana Championship Day. We're going to call him up and see if he can give us a winner anyway. We'll take a winner no matter where it is. And, of course, we're going to do some Joe Palmer. There was a J-Hub Day that wrote that column?
I think so.
Column in there, some page right prior to that one, Jackie. Over on the left.
Yes, J-Hub Day.
J-Hub Day wrote a column about Joe Palmer today. And the legacy continues. He's got a lot of quotes and most of which I can recite by
heart. Yeah, because other than us, you don't hear about, and I always see young kids starting on these farms and coming here and working. And who's Joe Palmer? Oh, they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's
they do
a
know
shame.
There's a Joe Palmer handicap that they run up in
New York.
New York for New York breeds. Of course, Joe was foaled over in Georgetown.
So I know.
I don't know what he would think about that, New
I
York
don't know. Breeds. He lived in somewhere like Long Island when he died.
Yeah. Yeah, much too soon. And, of course, we got Jackie's announcements and so forth. What about, I've got some notes here. You know, your announcements, they pertain. I was going through them last night because you weren't feeling too good, and I thought I might be stuck with them. And a lot of yours don't pertain particularly to racing. It's just horse-related.
Right.
And industry, whatever's going on in the industry.
Sure.
Which reminds me, you might as well start off with that, if you want to, on that Windstar announcement over there.
Oh, yeah.
What
they're going to auction racing memorabilia on eBay this month to benefit our friends at New Vocations. That's Lisa Malloy. They do a wonderful job at New Vocations. They take horses right off the track. She takes them to the farm. They turn them out for a day or two, and usually by 3 or 4 days, she's on them, riding them, jumping them, trail riding, riding in the ring, all kind of stuff, trying to figure out what she thinks would be the best for, you know, which way to go with these horses. Finds them homes within weeks. She has a great network out there. That's where our filly went.
She's one of the best I've ever seen. Maybe
ever,
the
ever.
Best.
The, maybe
well,
the
converting
best I have
there.
Ever seen. She is so good. And it's thoroughbreds, too. It's not some quiet, you know. They do standardbreds, too. I think keep most of the standardbreds up in Ohio. But anyway, the auction via Windstar Stablemates at stablemateswindstarfarm.com.
Did you read off some of the things that you're auctioning off?
Oh, yeah, a bunch of Drosselmeyer stuff. Anyway, it starts, what's today's date? Is today the 9th?
Today's the 10th.
Okay, it started yesterday then. stablemateswindstarfarm.com. And it runs to the 13th, and it goes right to New Vocations. Drosselmeyer's Breeders' Cup Classic Paddock Blanket.
How about that?
Do you believe that? Super Savers Winners Blanket. Halters from Tisnow, Super Saver, and Drosselmeyer. And a bunch of Drosselmeyer Breeders' Cup hats autographed by Mike Smith, Bill Mott, and Kenny Trout. It's a wonderful auction. I got notice of it. Yesterday or day
before. Hey, Holly, let Mike know, let Matt know that horse is working, did you? Okay. We've got the EMS and the farm manager.
We're picked up, everybody, yeah. And one more homeless goes through here, and he's got a job. Probably wouldn't want a job, but we'll give him a job.
Tony Battaglia's working one now. Look, what time is it? 10:05. I remember when he used to get up in the mornings.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we've been having a pretty good month. Horses here from the Thoroughbred Center, winning races. 19 so far in the first 9 days of this month, and we've had 15 since the last show. They really got rolling this last week.
That's great.
And the trainers of said winners are Paul Garcia, Kellen Gorder, Tom Bergen, Wayne Mogi. Now, Wayne has moved on. He's gone to Florida. He's split his stable, but he was training there. And I remember this horse horse named AP Diva. I clocked that many times. So it trained here, and
but it
won a Turfway. But so we're taking credit for that one. Wayne has left a stable, split his stable. He's in Turfway, and he went to I believe Tampa, and where he went. John Booker Jr. took Fortune Play down on the 9th Turfway and won the Holiday Inaugural Stakes with that filly. Nice,
good for him.
Nice filly.
Yeah.
He of course he won the stakes earlier with her at Churchill Downs. Excuse me, Churchill Downs. I got the hiccups. Tommy Skinner saddled one. So did Byron Scooter Hughes. Jimmy Corrigan.
Jimmy Corrigan just showed up.
Is Jimmy out here?
The Irish have awakened.
Lord have mercy. Jimmy will work them no matter what. I mean, it'd be a sloppy track out there. Jimmy would be out there working. Eduardo Caramori. Melvin Kendrick. Kellen Gorder, another one. Tanya Bolmitas. Bill Hickey saddled a winner down at Mountaineer last night, and we had two winners last night. Scooter Hughes had another one. Got Zip and Jimmy Dodgen saddled Dixie Gone Wild. Now, I think Jim is gone to, I think he's going to Tampa also, but his brother, this guy Joe, they're twins. You can't hardly tell them apart. It's my identical twins. Physically, but they're not a whole lot alike in other ways. Jim and Joe Dodgen.
Oh, I was going to say, who are you insulting now?
Well, I'm not insulting anybody. Joe's very religious, very nice, straight laced guy, and then there's Jim. moving right along.
A model citizen.
They're both nice guys. They're from. I think they're both originally from Colorado.
I think so. Yeah.
Joe's the one that went on a hunting trip out there and was about 18 miles up in the mountains out there, and the horse fell off the horse, or the horse dropped him and broke his leg, and he had to ride out of there of a broken leg.
Oh.
You know that had to smart.
I'm telling you. How to stick to something safe and quiet like fox hunting.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, Trap Shot, the impressive winner of the Grade 2 True North at Belmont, and a son of the top sire Tappet, has joined the ranks of stallions at Claiborne Farm. Trap Shot won the True North by 8.5 lengths with his ears pricked. Saw a picture of it. Posted a 111 buyer after getting the 6 furlongs in 108 and 4. And he went into the True North off a 109 flat score in the Walterboro Stakes, also at Belmont. Followed it with a fast closing second. Just got beat a nose in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga, and he posted a 112 buyer that day. Trap Shot served notice early that he was special, breaking his maiden at Gulfstream by 10.25 lengths, followed in his succession by allowance wins by 12.75 and by 4 at Gulfstream and at Belmont Park, a 2.75 length in the Long Branch Stakes at Monmouth Park, and a game second to looking at Lucky in the Grade 1 Haskell for earnings of over $703,000. Trap Shot is one of 13 2011 stakes winners by Pulpit's top son, Tappet, who ranks third on the general sire list. And he's one of 4 stakes winners, 2 graded stakes winners out of a daughter of private account from the famed family of the Blue Hen producer, Lady Be Good. A superb individual, he was an $850,000 sales graduate. Trap Shot, you want to stand for $10,000 doing a full stands of nurses? Your inspection's invited. Just call for an appointment. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibonfarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, last Saturday at Aqueduct, John Ra, first time starter by Bob and John, won a maiden special for 2-year-olds. That same day, McNair and Edger by Bob and John broke his maiden in a maiden special. So make that 14 2-year-old winners, including a stakes winner from the first crop by Bob and John. Both John Ra and McNair and Edger came from well off the pace to win. One at 6 furlongs, the other at 7 furlongs. But Bob and John's 2-year-olds are giving every indication that they're going to love two turns. Bob and John, although he won and placed in Grade 1 stakes at 2, really came into his own at 3. That's when he won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial in the Grade 3 Sham Stakes. Then he came back at 4 to take the Grade 3 Lone Star Park Handicap. Earnings are just short of $1 million, $996,000. Son of Seeking the Goal and Graded Stakes Winner Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister, Bob and John stands for $7,500 live foal at Pin Oak Stud. Home also a Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry. See the website at pinoakstud.com.
Run, old Molly, run, old Molly, run.
All right, well. Let's see. We're going to do something for my good friend David Schweitzer over at KTA, and we're going to give you the names of the breeders, Kentucky breeders.
Breeders of Kentucky breeds.
That won stakes last weekend. Did you get that in? Was her mic on then? Okay.
Oh, what a shame.
I was hoping it wasn't.
That's too bad.
Okay. So let's take a look at them. They just ran 4 graded stakes last weekend, but 3 of them were won by Kentucky breeds. That's 75%. That's not too bad. The Grade 2 Bayakoa Handicap, and, of course, that's out at Hollywood Park, $150,000, went to Ella Fitz. I guess that's named after Ella Fitzgerald, you would assume. Ella Fitz is a four-year-old filly, but Tiz Now stands over at Windstar Farm. And she was bred by Mineola Farm, David Houchin, and James W. Hirschman. Of course, Mineola right over here on the Bryan Station Pike, where Swoon Sun was foaled. Tropical Turf Handicap, grade 3 at Calder. Winner was Silver Medallion. That's a three-year-old called by Badger Silver. He stands over at Airdrie Stud. And he was bred by Burton C. Jones, who just happens to own Airdrie Stud. And that's the third stakes win for this three-year-old colt from the first crop by Badge of Silver, son of Silver Deputy that won $1 million. That's the third stakes win for Silver Medallion. Let's see, where's the other one? I know there's another one owner here right over here. The Native Diver Handicap at Hollywood Park, $100,000 pot there. Kettle Corn won that. And Kettle Corn was bred by Jim Plemons, foaled right here in Kentucky. Now, other stakes winners from Kentucky Breds last week. The Zia Park Distance Championship Handicap. And don't laugh, it was a $200,000 pot. McKenna's Justice won that, bred by McKenna Thoroughbreds. The Zia Park Derby with a $150,000 pot for that one. First Strike was the winner. Bred by, Mercedes Stables. And let's see, the Spectacular Bid Stakes at Gulfstream Park winner, Ancient Rome. Bred by Greg Massera and the Roman Ruler Syndicate. That'll let you know who that one's by, doesn't it? The Corte Madera Stakes at Golden Gate went to Lady of 50, bred by Cloverleaf Farms, another Kentucky bred. And, of course, they ran that claiming series, championship series, down at the fairgrounds. And let's see, the Claiming Crown Iron Horse Stakes winner with a pot of $46,500 went to Pedro Lino, bred by Silverleaf Farms. The Fortune Place Stakes at Turfway, the Holiday Inaugural Stakes at Turfway went to Fortune Play. Bred by Dixiana Stables and trained by our good friend John A. Booker right here at the Thoroughbred Center. The Claiming Crown Glass Slipper Stakes went to Rattlin' Gypsy, bred by Arthur Hancock Stone Farm and Sam Morgan. And Caballos del Sol Stakes at Turf Paradise winner Dancing Tribal. That makes sense, didn't it? But that's what it says, Dancing Tribal, bred by Sid and Jenny Craig, but foaled in Kentucky. All right, Jackie.
I was over here reading Jay Hovday's excellent piece on Joe Palmer. You know, that book's not in print.
No, it's not. But
you can find it sometimes on eBay.
Yeah.
Talk about an excellent Christmas gift. It's wonderful. Joe Palmer, This Was Racing, with a foreword, I think, Red Smith.
Yeah, Red Smith, yeah. The old sports writer.
Yeah, it's where if you've got anybody that really, really, really is a racing fan and wants the flavor of racing as much as they want the 2-horse, the 4-horse, and the 6-horse in finishing, that's an excellent thing to buy.
Yeah.
But we got, what, did we get 2 on eBay? I think we gave one of them to, I can't remember. But anyway, it's a wonderful present. Okay, January 14th.
Murray West, we gave it to.
Yeah. Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association's having a gala celebration at Spindletop.
Hey.
6 o'clock cocktail, 7 o'clock dinner and dancing with a live and silent auction. So, MSEDA.org is the place to check that out. It's always a very nice.
You want to hold those till later?
Sure.
We'll get these two guys on. How that racing form? That's tomorrow's form. You're not interested in that, are you? Did you see the article in there? You haven't seen tomorrow's form yet.
No.
Excellent.
Jay Hovday wrote a problem column mostly on Joe Palmer.
Really, Jay Hovday's been on the money lately. He's written some great columns lately.
Oh, he can write.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the best thing about the racing form, I think.
I brought you your Christmas present.
Oh, what is it?
It's one of Gene Markey's novels.
Okay.
Admiral Markey. But not only that, it's actually signed by Gene Markey.
Oh.
Not to you personally, but to someone else.
Well, can I put my name fake it a little?
Yeah, maybe you can. But as I was telling Dr. Byers on the way in here...
What does it smell like? You're smelling it now.
Yeah, eau de mildew. I only like to give you presents that have eau de mildew.
Kind of like me, huh?
Kind of like your Joe Palmer book. It's a little dicey over there.
As long as it's a book, not me.
But anyway, there you go, see? A new novel of adventure and mystery, The Little Emerald by Gene Martin.
Well, isn't that nice? Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate that.
I'm sure you
I've got your calendar up there that you gave me.
Nice.
Yeah.
There she is. But...
Whose kid is that, by the way?
That's McCarran.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's Susie Pacu's granddaughter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In fact, her father came in and bought 4 more calendars this week.
Great. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's a cute picture. It's a darling.
That's a great picture.
It really is, yeah.
She's the only human to ever be on one of our calendars.
Is that right?
Yeah. For good reason. She's adorable. I like her cowboy boots and a little belt and the look on her face like, well, I know how to do this. Just get out of my way.
Yeah, she's holding up that shank.
Yeah, exactly.
Really good. Really good. What else going on over your way, my friend?
Well, yesterday I was telling Dr. Byers I had a great experience yesterday. I got to go to the Western Elementary School in Scott County and talk to 80 second graders.
Oh, did you?
It was fabulous. Those kids were great.
What do you tell them?
Well, you don't have to worry because they ask all the questions.
Is that right?
Yeah, I started off by showing them a little video of some of the horses and the piece that they did on the CBS Evening News about old friends. They'd already knew everything. They'd been on the website. They knew about the horses.
8th graders on the website.
2nd graders.
Makes me feel inferior.
2nd graders. Like 8th graders.
Eight-year-olds. Okay.
Yeah, 8-year-olds, pretty much. But one of the kids said to me, could you explain what happened to Ferdinand?
Oh, my.
I'm going, he's in the 2nd grade. This is unbelievable. So, they love the horses. Someone had been to the farm. They donated so many things that I needed 8 of them to help me get it to the truck. Mints, carrots. They collected $187 to donate. In the spring, they're all going to come to the farm. But I'm serious. It was just an amazing experience. These kids love racing. You know, they don't bet. They don't go to the track. They don't do anything. But that's the future of the sport. And they're very interested. And if we can keep their interest, you know, then the future of this sport is pretty bright.
Yeah, well, they're a little young to be betting.
I know, but you got to start early.
Well, why didn't you open a book?
Well, I may do that. I may do that. But see, they have a pure interest in the sport. They have a pure interest in the athletes. So it was just amazing. And they were smart kids. They were really, really well behaved. They seemed very, very interested. The teachers didn't have to raise their voices. I mean, it really was an amazing experience for me. I don't know how it was for them. They're probably looking at their watches.
Oh, it didn't sound like it. I'd love to have heard your presentation.
But we had a good time.
Did you show any of the winning races of these things?
Or? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Ruhlman.
Ruhlman's races, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ruhlman winning the Santa Anita Handicap, yeah. So this is funny. So I told him we had, you know, Will's Way, and we had all these horses. And this kid raised his hand, he goes... how it started was a kid raised his hand. He goes, do you have any horses named Will? I said, yeah, we have Will's Way in Williamstown. He thought that was cool because his name was Will.
Okay.
So then this little girl raised her hand. She goes, do you have any horses named Rebecca?
I said,
no, not yet, but we might get one in. We'll name them Rebecca. Name her Rebecca.
We're looking.
Yeah. Yeah. They were really cute and really smart and very, very nice.
What other films did you show them?
I can't wait. That was it. I didn't have a lot of time. I only had like 20 minutes with 40 of them and then 20 minutes with another 40. I didn't have to spend the whole day.
Oh, 2 different classes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Same school. Yeah, big school.
Yeah. You know, it said welcome in like 20 different languages. I mean, it was really such a great experience. Yeah. I mean, it restored my faith in a lot of stuff because you kind of think, well, things aren't going in the right direction. And you go and see these kids and you go, well, what happens between then and now when they get older? At what point does it start to turn around? Because I'm telling you, they could freeze these kids' attitude about things and about life and their optimism and their clarity. They're very young, 2nd grade.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they were great kids and the teachers were wonderful. So,
tours holding up?
Not too many. Getting a little chilly, you know.
Yeah, it was a little chilly out here this morning. What happened out here this morning, I get here when the track opens at 6, and I sit around here doing nothing, And then after the break, you know, it started to pick up a little bit, you know. And then here they all come, you know, about 9:30.
Wow. Sleeping in. Holy mackerel. I thought they, what time do you close it?
Pardon?
What time does it close? Supposed to close.
I don't know. I leave here. I'm supposed to stop clocking at 10. What time does it close, Holly?
11:30.
Oh, okay.
But then the lower track stays open, doesn't it?
The upper track closes at 11. And then the lower
okay, the upper track closes at 11, the mile track, and the 5/8 mile down below, another half an hour. Okay.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm never here at that time. Then I get out of here.
What happened to those trainers like that like to train in the dark?
Well, when the weather
in the movies.
Weather, nah, when no, the weather,
I don't think so. Listen, when something down, it was more crowded before the sun came up.
Many a time now this summer, I've walked in here, and of course it opens early. It opens at 5:30. And I'd walk up, and the lights haven't come on yet, you know, and I'll hear them go by. Somebody's working, you know. It's usually, I know who it is. There's a couple of trainers right here. I know their horses, too.
He knows them by their hoofsteps. Yeah. It's a certain rhythm.
Yeah, well, as often as these guys do it, it's the same offenders all the time. They're not supposed to come on the track till the lights come on, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they do. Just two or three will do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those
are... I'm shocked.
Well, okay, let me do a commercial here. Well, Ultimate Eagle went into the November 27 running the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby off a score in the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby. He made it two in a row, defeating Imagining by Giants Causeway and Western Aristocrat by Mr. Greeley, boosted his earnings to $329,800. So you can add Ultimate Eagle's name to the ever-growing list of superior runners sired by Mizzen Mass. Runners like Mass Track, a Grade 1 stakes winner of over 928,000. Midships, a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $525,000. Grade 2 stakes winner Jaboom, winner of over 487,000. Grade 2 winner Madeo, earned more than 481,000. Grade 3 stakes winner C-Speak. Grade 3 stakes winner Strike the Bell. 25 stakes winners, plus another 15 that have placed in stakes. There's always another Mizzen Mass. So if you want a runner in your racing stable, take a close look at Mizzen Mass, who stands for 12,500 live foal. He stands at Judmont Farm with the beautifully bred Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense by Unbridled Song, out of Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. First Defense, 7,500 live foal. Inquiries, you could use this mic, Jackie. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Jackie's going to work on this. You touched me on the ear there and sparked me, baby.
It's been a while.
We're all relieved.
Yeah. Did you hear what she said?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Sparks are flying. It's a holiday spirit.
Oh, well, I'm going to hang up my tack.
Merry Christmas.
All right. BiedermanBrokerage.com, that's a place you can go to find beautiful property for sale. That's Tom Biederman and all his buds, Mike Morrison, Reggie Bouchel, Ryan Teeter, etc. A bunch of guys out there. They have some really great stuff for sale. There was one, I wonder if this one sold yet. It's pending. It's that unbelievable 25 acres with this gorgeous house. And it was $695,000 instead of $1,600,000. You know, I thought it was a, you know, misprint or whatever. Anyway, he also has a nice place, 1342 Georgetown Road in Paris. That is 211 acres. Is that Knott Griffin? Yeah, Knott Griffin's for sale. One of the Knott Griffins is for sale. It's real well laid out. He did it all himself, and it's good. When the asking price on that is $3,700,000. 1400 Harpinus Road, 130 acres with a big new French house, 5,400 square feet.
Wow.
14 paddocks, 7 fields, 16 stall horse barn, etc. That's $22,350,000.
$2 million or $22 million? Sound like you said $22 million.
$2 million.
Okay.
I could buy Lexington for $22.
Don't stutter when you're talking
Nobody
money.
Nobody else. That kind of money, I stutter.
Yeah, good thing we're not at Keeneland or Stacy Tipton.
Yeah, right.
And here's a really nice, wonderful old historic house on Pisgah, 3615 Pisgah in Versailles, 28 acres. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's a Windstar's near it. It's just beautiful. It's $1 million. It's a bargain. It's not $2 million. It's $1,995,000. That price is reduced. It looks like one of the houses around here that was built right before the Civil War. We lived in one of them. Sunnyside's one. Homewood. They're
the
two-story.
The house that burned down on Dixiana.
The house that burnt down on Dixiana. Yeah. That's for sale too. So
1840.
The prices are really good right now. And of course, we all know that the interest rates are just terrific. So give them a call at 277-2030 or go on BiedermanBrokerage.com. That's BIEDERMAN Brokerage.com.
All righty. I see you, Larry. Oh, yeah. November 25 at Churchill, gemologist, an undefeated 2-year-old by Tiz Now, won a grade 2 stakes up at Churchill. I said that, didn't I? It was a Kentucky Jockey Club stakes. That same day at Aqueduct, Lovely Lil by Tiz Now won the grade 2 Gopher One handicap. December 4 at Hollywood Park, Ella Fitz by Tiz Now won the grade 2 Biakoya handicap. So that's three graded stakes in 10 days by Tiz Now. And it's performances such as these that have boosted his stud fee to $75,000. Now, Tiz Deja Vu is a multiple graded stakes winner. He's by Tiz Now, and he stands for $5,000 doing the full stands and nurses. Tiz Deja Vu led all the way to win the grade 2 American Derby at Arlington, and he won four stakes at Churchill. The Grade 2 Jefferson Cup, the Grade 2 Firecracker, the Grade 3 Crown Royal American Turf, and the opening verse stakes led all the way in all four of them, and he led deep into the stretch to place in the Grade 1 Secretariat Stakes at the classic distance of a mile and a quarter. Tiz Deja Vu successfully completed his first season at stud this year. He'll have the numbers going for him when his first crop reaches the races. And that stud fee, again, is $5,000 doing the full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Pope McLean at Crestwood Farm. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is...
All right, I've got Dr. Doug Byer with me. And he's brought his little cue card in over here that... He writes notes to himself.
Right.
But he doesn't really need them. It just gives him a confidence boost.
You know, I throw these in a drawer when I get back to my office, and that drawer's getting pretty full.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
How long you been doing this show now, Doc?
Susan told me about 3 years.
Has it been?
Yeah.
Time flies, doesn't it?
It does.
When you're having this much fun.
Okay.
Well.
I don't know if Doc's having fun or not, but we are. We might.
Yes, we are.
I got to face the music when I get home. She said, well, that was terrible. You know, that's terrible.
I know. As a recovering critic, I know what that is.
Well, if you were smart now, Doc, you'd take a radio out and pull a plug on it to do something, you know.
She's got her little... we used to call them Walkmans. Now she's got the iPod, that she runs around with. So.
Oh, okay.
There's no hope.
There's no hope. She's going to outsmart you.
She's going to outsmart me. Yeah. So I asked her she asked me this morning. She said, what are you going to talk about? I said, well, I'm going to continue on with getting oxygen to the tissues for performance in the horses. So lung function. And she said, boy. That's something really going to captivate the audience, you know. So
I'd like to thank the little woman for her support.
Yeah, right. So anyway, that's what we are going to do. We're going to talk about
Susan.
Yeah. We said we got down to the exchange of the air in the back of the alveoli, and then crossing the membranes and getting into the circulation. The circulation is going to deliver it to the cells, and cells are going to use it for the mitochondria, and that's where you get your performance. So that's a quick snapshot, but okay. It's much more complicated than that because...
You lost me on the third syllable.
Right. When
He bolted.
So when the system fails, that's what we're talking about. We call them NRFEs, not racing fast enough. And so then you look at this one that he coming around a far turn and he just dies, you know, he hits a wall. So what's what's wrong with him? He's never done that before. So you need to start with a good exam and your blood work and everything else. And if it is in the lungs, then you fix what you think is wrong in the lungs, or if it's in the upper airways, or if he's bleeding, you need to figure those things out and address that problem. But if it's not in the lungs, then it crosses that membrane and it enters another world, and that's your hemoglobin that's going to pick up that oxygen and start carrying it through the circulation, take it down to the capillaries. And the hemoglobin is pretty fantastic in that the body regulates itself how much hemoglobin or red cell mass you need to have. So you and I would take a trip up to see Dr. Kirk Shiner up in Colorado, and we get up around 9,000 or 10,000 feet, and we'll be kind of winded because we're at that high altitude.
Hell, yeah. I get winded coming up the clock steps.
Right. But anyway, we'd feel that oxygen deprivation. That's why a lot of the football players don't really look forward to going to Denver to play a game. But anyway, once we're there for a little while, then our red cells detect we need mm-hmm. to carry more oxygen to the tissue. So there's a molecule, big name, 2,3-DPG, that converts. So this changes the oxygen carrying capacity of the hemoglobin. So now it can couple and, mm-hmm. and grab more oxygen to carry to the tissue. Now it gives it up a little more reluctantly to the tissue, but there's extra oxygen now that we have done through adaptation. So racehorses, some people have tried taking them to high altitudes and training them up there and bring them down to sea level and run them because they've got extra oxygen carrying capacity. So that's a form of blood doping, if you want to call it that sort of thing. There actually have been stalls that have been made to have low oxygen so that the body builds up this oxygen carrying capacity. Now, it doesn't work because once they step outside that stall, it changes very readily. So their performance may not be enhanced.
It changes that quick.
Yeah. So if you and I go up to the high altitude and we carry that extra oxygen, then we come down to sea level, that extra oxygen may or may not be that useful to us because the 2,3-DPG doesn't give it up very readily. It just carries it as like a backpack. And then when it gets down to the tissue level, it gives up a little bit, but it keeps the same amount going to the tissue. So it's not, we're really not getting that performance enhanced, so, or altered for the benefit. So anyway, we've got that hemoglobin in there, and then we say, well, what about EPO? Because if your oxygen level is low and it goes through the kidney, and the kidney has these cells that detect the oxygen, they measure your oxygen level, and they say to the bone marrow, I'm going to give you some more erythropoietin so you can make more red cells because you're a little low. Okay, so then they send the EPO, the natural EPO, we call that endogenous EPO, down to the bone marrow. Bone marrow says, well, we'll make some more red cells. We'll fix it. We'll fix the problem. So that's a natural process. Then people come along and say, well, we have artificial EPO. What'll happen if we give that? Well, it does bump them up, and that's what they worry about, like with the Olympics and
bike racing,
Tour de France.
Yeah,
are they really enhanced? Well, that EPO stimulates red cells that are not like 2,3-DPG. They're just more oxygen carrying capacity. Yeah. They're going to give it up, so they'll give it to the tissue. So yes, they can be enhanced by getting this. So that's one way to do it. Now another way they do it is you bleed horses. So you take several liters of blood off a horse 6 weeks, a month before a race. Well, what's going to happen if you make him anemic? He's going to release his own EPO because it detects that now I don't have the same oxygen carrying capacity. Releases his own EPO, and he builds himself back up to normal. But you saved those red cells from that horse. And you give them back to the horse prior to the performance. Now you have taken that EPO response, which is natural, and enhanced it by giving back the red cells to give them more extra. So that's another way actually these start with human athletes figuring this stuff out.
Yeah.
And then the trainers get on board and they say, well, this is a natural process. It's not a natural process. Horses don't run around bleeding themselves.
And putting it in a refrigerator.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And then we could take it a step further, and we have had, and it's now off the market, but we got artificial hemoglobin. We got oxyglobin. And that was on the market, and it's pure hemoglobin.
For equines? Or
it's made from cattle hemoglobin, but it's compatible with the equine.
Okay.
So they give them extra hemoglobin, not red cells, the hemoglobin itself. So it's called oxyglobin. So, again, it was devised for treating shock, you know, where you're a hospital patient, and they wanted for human patients. And they ran into problems with it, mostly because of it came from cattle origin, and so they worried about the Jacob Creutzfeldt disease and getting bovine products into human circulation. So it's off the market currently. Yeah. But there's all kinds of ways that people look at these systems, and again, we blame our industry for having a lot of drugs out there, but we're pretty clean compared to most of the other sports. You know, when you get talking about football and basketball and everything else, they're taking plenty of stuff. So we're pretty clean.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
How in the world do you remember all this stuff?
I asked Michael on the way over here.
Yeah, I'm a big help, as you can imagine.
Yeah, right.
A huge help.
I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. You know, I did never
spell hemoglobin.
Well, I was always interested in how things work.
Yeah.
Rather than fixing parts. So the surgeon fixes the parts.
Yeah.
And he's what I call the immediate gratification discipline. So they're supposed to go in there and they take a look and they know what's going on right away.
Yeah.
The medicine person kind of has to figure it out and then...
Like a puzzle.
And then I always say the difference between surgery and medicine. Surgery fixes parts. Medicine's got to keep that patient alive long enough they can get well.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And he's gotten a lot of them well, and everybody that knows Dr. Byers knows that's true.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
He's gotten a lot of Byers well, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. But, you know,
he's in senior medicine now.
Understanding how things work is really how we make progress.
Yeah. But it's the complication.
Right.
You know, wow, it's complicated. You know, the steps that you're talking about.
Well, now you're in Susan's court. Wow, you're really going to be interesting with that topic.
Okay. No, I think one of Dr. Byers' great attributes, he's a wonderful teacher. I mean, if he can teach me some things like where the heart's located and where to stick the stethoscope, you know he's on the right track.
All right. Well, thank you, Doc. Wait a minute.
Appreciate it. It's always a privilege to be here.
Well, my goodness, it's a privilege to have you on.
Yes, it is. And if anybody's got any hay out there, we'll take it, we'll buy it, we'll borrow it, we'll steal it, whatever you want.
I had to get the hustle before you left.
Yeah. 502-863-1775. And it's a beautiful day to come out and see the horses, too. And we got
it. Boy, it is pretty.
Yeah.
Going up to freezing.
Yes, not bad.
Yeah, right.
It's a great feeding this morning. Come see us. And, Ursula, I know you'll have a lot of good information. We'll be listening on the way home.
You probably listen to Jackie then. Well, awesome again is the side of 9 2011 stakes winners and earners of more than $6,550,000 to once again rank among the nation's leading sires stands for $50,000 live foal. One of his 9 2011 stakes winners is the courageous Game On Dude, a dead game second in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Of course, Awesome Again has already sired a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and 12 Grade 1 stakes winners. And one of the 12 is the brilliant De Hare. De Hare won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, posted a 114 buyer speed figure, and he out-sprinted champion sprinter Midnight Luke that day. He also won the Grade 2 Jerome at Belmont, going a mile 134-1, He was, as dubbed by Steve Haskin, freaky fast, and he has already proven his ability to sire runners. Retired late in the breeding season and represented by only six foals, he has sired a stakes winner. That would be his two-year-old daughter, Gypsy Robin. She won her first start at Keeneland by over seven lengths in record time and has since won the $101,000 sorority stakes at Monmouth Park. So here you have a brilliant miler with great speed by a highly successful sire out of a mare that's produced two Grade 1 stakes winners. DeHare's full sister is a Grade 1 stakes winner, Spun Sugar, standing for 7,500 live foal. Remember, Gypsy Robin and breed to DeHare in 2012. He stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Want to say a little bit about my good friend down at Quillen Tack, Ralph Quillen, and it's a great gift shop down there. If you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet, boy, it's a good place to start right there.
Oh, it's fantastic. Everybody needs checkbook covers and what? Oh, even dog and cat collars. They do them rolled and they do them flat and they do them in all kind of different colors now. And you put the little brass or nickel nameplate. Makes a great Christmas present. Belts make a wonderful Christmas present with the nameplates on them. That's, Ursa always goes with the nameplate in case it gets lost. They've also got, since breeding season's coming up, they've got kind of a special on Kentucky Hickory Twitches. The guys that used to make these things have all but retired. They got a good supply of these. They're handcrafted and durable, but when they're gone, they don't think they're going to get any more, because it's kind of a dying art. So they're dried, air-dried hickory sapling twitches, hand-sanded nylon rope twitch, and a brass snap. So give them a call. Stop out and see.
Yeah, it's, I'll tell you where, easy way to find it. If you're going in Paris Lexington Road into Gay Prairie, you go to the third stoplight. Just keep going straight toward downtown, go to the third stop right, and it's right on the corner on your left. You can't miss it.
Yeah, and of course they're online, quillen.com. You go to that, and it says enter store, and you click on that, and you can get just about anything you need. Leather craft, Christmas presents. It's nice to get something sort of monogrammed, and that's a place to go. So,
well, December 4 at Hollywood Park, the grade $250,000 Bell Core Handicap was won by Ella Fitz. Four-year-old Philippa Tisnow, bred by Mineola Farm, David Houchins, and James Hirschman, trained by Bob Baffert. Ella Fitz led all the way, going a mile and 16th in the Biocoa. She won by 3 1/4 lengths and to become the third graded stakes winner sired by Tis Day in a 10-day period. All three at different tracks. November 25, Gemologist, an undefeated two-year-old colt by Tisnow, won the grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill. And that same day at Aqueduct, Lovely Lil, a four-year-old filly by Tisnow, won the grade 2 Gopher Juan Handicap. Tisnow is the sire of 10 stakes winners and earners of more than $5,250,000 this year, including two grade 1 stakes winners. Stands for $75,000 live foal at Windstar Farm. Also at Windstar is one of the Tisnow 7 grade 1 stakes winners, Colonel John, winner of both the grade 1 Travers and the grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, an earner of more than $1,779,000. Colonel John stands for $15,000 live foal. First foals, outstanding individuals, arrive this year. For more information about the Windstar Stallions, contact Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett. The number over at Windstar is 873-1717. And see the website, windstarfarm.com.
I'm hitting down the highway, happy here.
Do some, a few more announcements, Jackie, to take us up to the top of the hour.
Sure. I want to recommend this opinion piece by Jay Hubday in Sunday's Racing Form. It's quite nice and remind people.
Written about Joe Palmer. We're going to read a little Joe Palmer. Try to get to reading a little Joe Palmer in the second hour.
Oh, and for Christmas, if we can shake Sean Dameron loose and get our copy of Old Friends. Wait a minute, what is it, Old Pastures?
Old Pastures.
Yeah, we're going to have that on. That's the story of a... We do it every Christmas because of the retired programs we have around here. It's a story about an old horse who was, I don't know, rescued. And it's a wonderful story, and we're going to do that on the Christmas Eve show with other things sort of similar. So it'll be a special Christmas Eve show. It'll be on from 10 till noon. And, of course,
we'll probably do that in
live
the second
streamed.
Hour. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll probably do that in the second hour, but it's a wonderful thing. We also do some... Do we do Joe Palmer in that show? Anything? I can't remember. Reading Joe Palmer's like giving somebody a Christmas present anyway. It's so good. It's amazing. So that's in the Sunday Daily Racing Form. You can pick it up wherever they sell them. I don't know. Where do you get a racing form? Ursel gets his over here. Okay, Thoroughbred Charities of America. Join us Saturday, January 7th, 6:30 at the Keeneland Entertainment Center. They're going to honor old friends, ta-da, with the Industry Service Award. And Facing Tipton with the Leadership Awards. Limited reservations. It's a live auction of select stallion seasons, vacations, experiences, and more. And their auction hotline, you can call in, which is a pretty good idea, 276-4989. That's the same number that you called to get a hold of Aaron Craddy. 276-4989. If you are interested in participating, raise a lot of money for a lot of good charitable horse charities. Horse Park is, today is the 10th? Today the 10th or the 9th? 10th. Okay, I'm just a little slow. Snowball Series Mounted Games at the Horse Park. And, of course, Southern Lights are open. It's $15 a carload. It's 3 miles of lights and all kind of exhibits. They have, did you go, Holly? Yeah. Holly went and said it's great. And it is. It's super. They also have a petting zoo.
What's it called?
Gift shop, $15 for a carload.
Oh, okay.
Just throw them all those kids back in there, get the whole crowd and go. It's, you never forget it.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It's a great.
Rent a school bus and take your.
Whatever. Get an 18-wheeler and go give them $15, you cheap, sorry thing.
No, it's extra. I think it's 35 for a bus.
35 for a bus. They've already thought of it. See, they've already thought past what Ursa was going to say. Also, Announcement Makers Mark Secretariat Center out at the Horse Park needs a working condition horse trailer and or pickup truck. They don't have a rig, so we're trying to do that. Also, tickets to the horse exhibition make great Christmas gifts. Call them at 259-4200 and Central Kentucky Riding for Hope. That wonderful therapeutic riding center at the Horse Park, they need a good used driving cart. I guess if there are some that, you know, they can't get them up on a horse, that's a good idea. So, Masterson, Lexington is unique in that we have a place called Masterson Station Park where you can just pull up and ride to your heart's content. I don't know how many acres out there, but it's quite nice. And they have jumps, they have cross-country courses, they have a hunter ring. They have several dressage rings that you can use. You just go out there and avail yourself. It's owned by the Lexington Fayette County Urban Government, but it's in very good shape. They have a lot of people taking care of it. What I want to tell you about now is they are opening their closed indoor arena to ride. Did you need a reservation? It's 8 in the morning till 8 at night. It's Saturdays and Sundays, maybe Thursdays. Anyway, call Georgia at 253-0328 for more information.
But Tears Wearer is represented by Graded Stakes winners at Churchill and Aqueduct on November 25 and another Graded Stakes winner at Hollywood on December 4, that's 3 Graded Stakes winners in 10 days. He's also the side of the 2011 Grade 1 Stakes winner, Tisway, and of the undefeated 2-year-old, Tis Wonderful. Winner of 2 Graded Stakes at Churchill, and both Tisway and Tis Wonderful stand at Spendthrift Farm. Tisway, with victories this year in the Grade 1 Whitney, the Grade 1 Metropolitan, and the Grade 2 Kelso, is a leading candidate for a champion older horse. Blazed a mile and won 32-4 in the Metropolitan, and he bested the likes of Flat Out in the Whitney for earnings over $1,359,000. Tis Wonderful broke his maiden by 12.5 lengths at Saratoga, then went to Church of Downs and won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and the Grade 3 Iroquois. His first foals are yearlings. 6 of them sold for over $100,000 this year, 2 for $150,000, and 10 for more than $75,000. If they run like they look, they're going to be top two-year-olds. Tisway's 2012 stud fee is $25,000 due when the foal stands and nurses. And be sure to ask about Spencer's Share the Upside program. Tis Wonderful stands for $12,500 due when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, or Ned Toffin. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Produce Records CD-ROM is now in stock at FirstNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year, pedigrees dating back to 1950. The American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at FirstNet.com or call 859-223-4444.
I want to talk about my friend Ron Wallace, who has his firm is Equine Farm Management, Inc., and he formed that firm back in 1995, I believe. Well, it's been around a while. That was when he was with, after he left Judmont Farm in a manager position there, and he decided that he wanted to spread what he knew among, instead of just one big farm, 4 or 5 smaller farms where, for instance, if you have a small operation, maybe 150 acres or 100 acres or something like that with a 10 or 12 mare broodmare band and you really can't afford to pay a big, salary to a full-time farm manager, well, he can give you 20% of his time and, you can afford that. So, in other words, he can work, it'd be good for him and good for you. He can work for a smaller fee, but has done extremely well doing just that. He managed, of course, Chateau Claire Farm, which just had the dispersal, and raised a bunch of runners over there for them, some 30 stakes horses from 137 starters, including, let's see, grade one stakes winners like Continuously and Dreams Galore, and, of course, Breeders' Cup Classic winner Royal Delta that just sold for $8.5 million out at the sale. The Indy 500 and Lear's Princess were both grade one stakes winners. So was Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf winner Moram. So this is a man that's been there and he's done that. And if you're looking for a manager and you've got a nice little farm and you want to raise some runners, I suggest that you call Ron Wallace. At I'll give you his number in just a second. He is he specializes in managing not only small farms, but setting them up in the right direction where they are easy for the owners to manage. He can recommend the best builders in town, the best painters in town, the best fence builders in town, you name it, they can do it. He can hire you help for you. He knows where to do that. And he's just a good guy to know if you want to do things right in the horse business. It's Ron Wallace. And his number is 859, number 621-1655, and equinefarmmanagement.com is his website.
Run that body one more time. Tell me how you'd never cheat on me. Tell me that you always will be true, dear. Run that body one more
Ready?
Time.
Where are you, Jackie?
I'm at Open House Macaulay Brothers Feed Company down in Versailles.
That's this coming Tuesday, isn't
it? That's this coming Tuesday. I can't wait. December 13th. Open House, they've got a new manager, Daryl Ward, and he will be, that's to, you know, all set up so you can go meet him and eat, drink. I haven't had breakfast, can you tell?
Yeah, I can tell.
We're going to be down there. We'll see you there. It's from 10 to 3 next Tuesday.
Okay. That's Betsy's therapy day. I'll pick you up at Cardinal Hill and we'll run down.
Run down. Great. Okay. Does your trailer need repair? Well, anyway, if it does, I have heard from two of my friends.
I think ours is dying of old age.
Oh, it still works, but it looks old, doesn't it?
Well, I know we've had it covered, so...
We don't know what's under there. We may take the cover off and it all slowly crashes to the ground. Wouldn't that be funny?
No.
No. Anyway, both of these friends of mine have taken their trailers to Sally Van, and they just can't get over what a good job they did. So Sally does everything first rate. So if you're interested in getting it, one... had rubber mats repaired, fenders repaired, brakes checked, bearings packed, and all that stuff. So give them a call over there. You call Ben Eversole at Sally Van at 513. Now, that must be his cell phone because 513, I think, is Cincinnati. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's 513-675-8874, but you can call the regular Sally Van number and, you know,
yeah,
get that taken care of. Hey, this is good. Shaker Hill has wonderful places to ride. It's an hour and something to get there, but it is a nice place to go trail ride. It's beautiful. And, of course, Woodford Hound hunts there. You can get a pass for the year. It's $10 a month, $120, but it makes a real nice Christmas present for friends of yours who ride. So if you're interested, I'm trying to think what the name of that, of their website is. It's got me. But if you Google Shaker Village of Pleasant Hill, they'll get you the number. So that's pretty good. Let's see. Old Murray West, Dr. Murray West, our family doctor, has a blog. He put a blog out. It's called the 2minutelick.blogspot.com. And he's got a bunch of his pictures up there. He's great, takes great horse pictures. So, if you want to check it out, that's Murray West. It's 2minutelick.blogspot.com. Also, I want to remind people that it's getting a little late, but there's still time to paint your fences. You got to catch one of these warmish days. We had ours done. Lee Clark did it. Lee Clark is from Winchester, does all this stuff in central Kentucky. He is really good. Our barn and sheds and all that junk look really great.
Fences
look fabulous. So give Lee Clark a call at 333-1102. Now, there are 2 days coming up that you cannot ride at Shaker Hill, although it's a good place to go eat, too. Very Christmassy. December 21st and 22nd, that's a Wednesday and a Thursday, they are having quail hunts. Let's see, not much else going on, truthfully. Bit and Bridle Restaurant is at the farmhouse. That's a good place to eat at the horse park. I already did that one. Thoroughbred Horse Show Association has been created to develop opportunities for thoroughbreds beginning show careers. That's be starting that in the spring. They're going to have just thoroughbreds, that's all. And that's real nice. Call Jan Roll, 84. Wait a minute, I started giving you that number wrong. 421-8710. Oh, okay, Dr. Byers said if anybody wanted him to talk about a particular subject when he's here, he'd be glad to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody wants to, they can call Ursel, or they can call, or they can email me, JackiePostTime@AOL.com. If you have any, something you're particularly interested in.
That's for free.
That's for free. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Also, my friend Peggy Manus, of course, over in Midway has her photography studio. She takes great pictures. ManusPhotography.com, 846-9343. She's got a lot of nice stuff in there for Christmas, too.
All right, well, Posse is the sire of Caleb's Posse, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and with victories in 4 other stakes this year, including the Grade 1 King's Bishop, he's a contender for an Eclipse Award. The Posse stands at Viney, New York, but his Eclipse Award-winning son, Kodiak Cowboy, stands at Viney, Kentucky for 6,500 live foal. Kodiak Cowboy won the Grade 1 Vosburgh, the Grade 1 Carter, and Grade 1 Cigar Mile as a 4-year-old and was voted champion sprinter. At 3, won the Grade 2 Amsterdam and the Grade 3 Sport Page and placed in the Grade 1 Vosburgh. And at 2, besides earning the Southern Award as a champion 2-year-old in Canada, he won the Grade 2 Saratoga Special, Grade 3 Bashford Manor at Churchill, and placed in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He was retired with earnings of over $1,663,000. His first foals arrived this year, and your inspection is invited in Viney, Kentucky. Just contact John Gasper, Steve Castanola, Francis Rillihan, or Grant Williamson at 455-9388 and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, closing day at call of the Grade 3 $100,000 Tropical Turf Handicap was won by Silver Medallion, a three-year-old colt in the first crop by Badger Silver. It was his third stakes win. Broke his maiden in his first start as a two-year-old at Saratoga, and later that year won the Eddie Logan Stakes at Santa Anita. In his first start at three, he won the Grade 3 El Camino Real Derby, and he is placed in the Commonwealth Turf Stakes at Churchill. Badger Silver is also the sire of, in his first crop, graded stakes winner in Grade 1 place King Conti, Hollywood Park stakes winner Sparkle Lady, and stakes place Silver Leo. That was at Woodbine. In his second crop, now two-year-olds, he's the sire of Fly Alexis Fly, a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner in South America, undefeated Doug's Buddy, winner of three stakes in Canada, and El Romano stakes placed at Calder. In other stakes last weekend, it happened again. A five-year-old son of Proud Clarion won the $150,000 claiming crown jewel stakes at the fairgrounds. And She's All In, a three-year-old filly by Include, won the ladies on the lawn stakes at Remington. Badger Silver, a multiple graded stakes winner of over $1 million, is by Silver Deputy, and he stands for $6,000. Proud Citizen for $7,500, and Include for $12,500. Fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses. And ask us, breeding incentives just might be available at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. So see the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Well, I guess my interview's not going to show up.
Guess not.
He's Irish.
Oops.
Oh, well. We shall be able to fill in with something. I can start by talking about one of the... well, maybe I'll do that. Let me read a little Palmer first, and then I'll talk about First Land.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to need a little more time to talk about him. See if we can get a hold of Steve Moody, would you... And he can give us a winner or something like that. Let's see. I just opened a book here. Joe Palmer's This Was Racing, and there's a really nice article in today's Racing Form about Joe Palmer, written by Jay Hubday.
It says Sunday on this form. Would it be in Saturdays, too?
No, it's in Sundays.
Sundays.
Yeah, tomorrow's Racing Form. Yeah, I left Saturdays at home for some
reason. Page 4.
I picked my Racing Form up down here at the... guard gate when I come in. They drop it off for me. Anyway, this is Joe Palmer, right? And there's no limit to what a press agent will do for publicity. Last Saturday, for instance, a New York publisher got out a budding author and put him on a horse at Jamaica before 52,110 spectators. I refer, of course, to that distinguished literary arrival, George E. O'Carroll, who went along with a gag and turned up in the winner's enclosure on a lot of white. This was pure advertising for his forthcoming I Ride to Win, a book. You wouldn't suspect Master Edford of being a classicist. At least I have never heard anyone at Jamaica lean over the rail and yell, "What do you think you were doing on that horse, you stupid classicist?" But he has held to the classical tradition, as will be shown. All men, wrote an earlier Italian autobiographer, one Benjamin Cellini, who... No, let me look at his name again. Benvenuto Cellini, who have done anything of merit, or which verily has a semblance of merit, if so, they are men of truth and good repute, should write the tale of their life with their own hand. Yet it were best they should not set out on so fine an enterprise till they have passed their 40th year. Eddie O'Carroll has released his autobiography in his 35th year, but it was not the first time he has made a wrong count. As he relates in the book, he once pulled up Blue Hills in the Pimlico Cup handicap of 1949 when there was still one complete circuit of the Pimlico racetrack to be completed. But he has done some things of merit. Cellini cast a bronze Medusa and hammered out various salt dishes and art objects. He did not ride any Derby winners at all, whereas Master Edwin has had no fewer than five. Cellini did not hold scrupulously to his intention. I had begun to write this life of myself with my own hand, but I reflected that I was losing too much time. So, falling in with the son of Michel Degore, a lad of about 14 years, and weakly, I set him to write for me, he confessed. Sure enough, on the title page of I Ride to Win, there is the note, as told to Jack O'Hara. Mr. O'Hara is slightly over 14 years and could hardly be referred to as weakly. No matter, Master Edward followed the Cellini tradition. He followed it in another way, too, for you will find, much to his discredit, set down. He has, he admits, sometimes found an alien saddle cloth clutched in his hand. He has occasionally found another jockey's leg firmly locked in his own, and he has used his whip for purposes not authorized by the rules of racing. But his justification is simple and, I think, sound. If a jock showed the slightest trace of cowardice, it could get awfully rough out there. You were competing with men who were aware that their own particular sums were fading, and that resented your moving into their places, they would leave. They fought you, and you fought them back. If O'Carroll spent some of his early years trying to put his contemporaries into the infield, his most determined effort was made on Vincenzo Nordars in the 1942 Cowden. He had spent his later years putting them in the middle. Once, on Pavitt in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, he had Basil James making the pace with Stymie with a full mile to go, which bewildered Stymie so much that he was beaten five lengths. The great example was the Manhattan Handicap of 1944. The turf riders charged me with grand larceny in the Manhattan, Eddie writes. It was not merely grand, it was magnificent. Since Double Diver was the only one in the four-horse field with early speed, it was obvious he would make the pace. Since Bowling Broke was the stretch runner of the four, it was obvious that neither of the other two should burn themselves out chasing Devil Diver. You could have run the race on paper the night before. O'Carroll, with an assist from John Gaber, Devil Diver's trainer, did just about that. Alex Barth went to the turn in front, with Farrell Zufelt looking on both sides to see why the devil somebody didn't pass him. Bowling Broke, for the first time in his life, was slugging along against the bit, trying to run. Caribou was lumbering along, puzzled but pleased to find a field he could stay up with. O'Carroll and Devil Diver were galloping along happily at a pace almost any horse could hold indefinitely. The first quarter was run in 26-4, which was bad enough. The second was run in 28-4. Horsemen speak of slow races as running in trotting horse time. And this actually was it. Greyhound, on the way to his world record, 1:55 1/4 for a mile, really trotted 1/4 mile faster than the second quarter of the Manhattan. This nonsense went on for a full mile, running 1:48 2. Thereupon, Devil Diver, which could run a half mile with any man's horse, sprinted away and won nicely. It was the slowest Manhattan ever run. Jack Campbell, the New York racing secretary, was encountered later. I rode a sprint for older horses this fall, he said, from among his cigar, but this wasn't supposed to be it. The substitution of guile for force is suited to riders who are getting on, and no one knows it better than Eddie, who is no longer a desperate character. On the earlier rough riding, he writes, it couldn't happen now, and it's a good thing for guys like myself that it can't. If it were not for the motion picture cameras and the increasing vigilance of the patrol judges, the young kids would run us off the track. That I'd have to see. He's tamer now, but he's still our Carol. All right. He rode a lot of good ones. He used to ride, of course, the Derby horses for Calumet. Well, Trap Shot, an impressive winner, the Grade 2 True North at Belmont and a top son of Sire Tappet, has joined the ranks of stallions at Claiborne Farm. Trap Shot won the True North by 8.5 lengths with his ears pricked, posting a 111 buyer after getting the 6 furlongs 108-4. He went into the True North off a 109 score in the Waldoboro Stakes, that's also at Belmont, and he followed it with a fast closing second, beating a nose in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga, posted a 112 buyer. Trap Shot served notice early that he was special, breaking his maiden at Gulfstream by 10.25 lengths, followed in succession by allowance wins by 12.75 and 4 at Gulfstream and at Belmont, a 2.75 length win in the Long Branch Stakes around 2 turns in Monmouth, and a game second to looking at Lucky in the Grade 1 Haskell for earnings of over $703,000. Trap Shot is one of 13 2011 stakes winners by Pulpit's top son, Tappet, who ranks third on the general sire list, and he is one of 4 stakes winners, 2 graded stakes winners, out of a daughter of private account from the famed family of Blue Hen producer Lady B. Good. A superb individual. He was an $850,000 sales graduate. Trap Shot is to stand for $10,000 due in the full stands and nurses. Your inspection is invited. Just call for an appointment. Inquire to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibonfarm.com.
Sell even your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, there are only 3 stallions standing for a fee of less than $35,000 ranked among the top 19 on the 2011 General Sire list, and all 3 stand at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Taylor the Cat, standing for $30,000 live foal, is a sire of 11 stakes winners and the earners of over $7,830,000 to rank 8th. Fusa Ichi Pegasus is a sire of 9 stakes winners and the earners of more than $7,088,000 this year. He ranks 11th, and he stands for a fee of $15,000 live foal. Grand Slam, ranked 19th on the sire list, is a sire of 12 stakes winners and the earners of more than $6,025,000. He stands for $12,000 live foal. The lowest stud fee among the top 20 on the general sire list. Grand Slam is also the sire of 19 two-year-old winners this year. 2 of them are stakes winners. His most recent juvenile winner came last Saturday when Whistleblower won a maiden special at Aqueduct. Also staying at Ashford Stud are Giant's Causeway, the nation's number one ranked sire on the general sire list with the earners of over $11,664,000. And he's also the leading sire of 2011 stakes winners with 21. 13 of them graded stakes winners, including 3 Grade 1 stakes winners. Scat Daddy, the nation's leading sire of two-year-old winners, with 26, 4 stakes winners. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
I got the horse right.
All righty. Well, I believe I have Steve Moody with me right now, who has moved out of Kentucky, has moved to the fairgrounds. And he's now doing the fairgrounds handicapping sheet. Where can you buy that, Steve?
I think just at the just online or so. I think that's
won't have any out at the simulcast.
Not sure about out at Keeneland, but I know online for sure, and over at the office. That's the only 2 places I'm absolutely positive of.
Okay. Yeah. Well, today they're running a bunch of races. This is Louisiana Day, Brad. What do they call it? Championships Day?
Yeah, Louisiana Champions Day, Ursula. Nothing like doing 13 races for Louisiana Breds. can't ask for a better day than that, can you?
I know you were excited on that one. Probably stayed up all night burning the midnight oil on that one, didn't you?
Had a big bowl of gumbelaya right here with me.
Okay. And drinking chicory. There you go. Well, pick out the one you think is the best betting race and give us a winner. We don't care where they win as long as they win.
All right. Well, let's go with their classic stakes. That's their highest purse of the day, $150,000. Louisiana Champions Classic. The seven horses entered, and sort of looks like a two horse race, or so, between the four Populist Politics and the six horse Star Guitar. Populist Politics, they switched him to the dirt last time, kind of by accident. He was entered in a race that was scheduled for the grass, and it got rained off the grass and onto the main track, and this horse ran there and just won extremely easily, and so I guess they liked what they saw with him, and came back and going to run him in this race. He's come out of that race in pretty good fashion, apparently. Has a bullet work. Tom Amos, of course, one of the top trainers around, has got this one, and looks like he's ready to go. He's started four times at the fairgrounds, this horse has, and won three of them. And he figures to be running from off the pace. James Graham has the mount on him, and so he's going to be very tough. Star Guitar is just an absolute winning machine. He's won 20 out of 26 career starts.
Wow.
He's perfect this year, 5-for-5. And he's actually the slight favorite in here. Like I said, he's at 6-to-5 and Populist Politics at 7-to-5. So Al Stahl is the trainer of Star Guitar. So you got two of the top trainers around, Al Stahl and Tom Amos, battling here in this race. I'm going to give the just a very slight edge to the four-horse Populist Politics. I was impressed with the way he won that race last time and the bullet work afterwards. So we're going to see if he can get the job done today. Star Guitar, it's awfully tough to pick against him is the way he, you know, the way his record is. 20 out of 26, you don't find too many like that. And then the third place horse, I went with the five horse, eight. Eight at City Park, has a liking for the fairgrounds track. He's started there three times and won two. He looks like probably the best of the rest. So we'll go 4-6-5 in the Louisiana Champions Classic Stakes.
All right, 4-6-5. Well, I see where Kentucky is a 4.5-point favorite. Tonight against Indiana.
Vegas come down a little. It was 5.5 last night, but either way, they're walking into a hornet's nest today, Ursel. So it's going to be wild in there. This is probably the best Indiana team that they've had in a while, and you couple that with the fact that. They can't stand Kentucky. They can't stand Calipari, and that we're coming in there number one in the nation. It's going to be crazy. So we're going to have to. I think athletically, we're just better than they are. But you know, the home court and all the atmosphere and everything. We're going to have to make sure they don't. we don't get burned with the 3-point shot. That's their one, probably their strength. And we, we struggled with that last week.
Yeah, we did. But I tell you what, that North Carolina game, that was like a Final Four game. That was a wonderful game. I thought it was fun to watch.
Yeah, I recorded it on the DVR, and I've gone back and looked at it two or three times. It was a really. Really great game, like you said. It was just like a tournament-type game. Of course, last year was the same way. You know, we went down there and
yeah.
They beat us by two in Chapel Hill, and then we came back and beat them in the to go to the Final Four. So,
yeah, I see where Indiana is. Indiana is what, the fifth high scoring team in the averaging about a little over 85 points a game.
And that sounds about right. I know they really haven't played anybody. I guess the toughest game they've had was when they went on the road and played NC State, but NC State's not really any great shakes. They've got a new coach this year, and
yeah.
And but they're scoring a lot of points, and that's the other thing too is, you know, Crean has talked about running with Kentucky, which you would think would be suicide, but who knows how it'll go. I just that would be fine with me, just as long as we can clamp down on their 3-point shots. I think we should get out of there okay, but if we don't, it could be a long afternoon.
They play good defense. Kentucky plays good defense. It's I think that's been kind of their strong point, isn't it?
I think our defense has been ahead of our offense, certainly. But we have had a couple of games that, you know, most notably last week and that game against up there in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Where they, Old Dominion made
bunch of threes.
11 or 12 threes. And
even North Carolina, most of those threes came in the first half. They kind of clamped them down in the second half, didn't they?
Well, yeah, they had seven. They had seven in the first half, I think.
What'd they end up with?
11.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit better. Cut it almost in half.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they were getting the open shots in the second half like they were. Well, anyway, it's fun to talk about. And so this has been Stephen. Steve, thank you. Appreciate it. And you can go online. Where do you go on? What's the website to get that?
Brisnet.com.
Oh, well, I should know that off by heart. I'm there every day with Brisnet.
.com.
Yeah, Brisnet.com. Great organization. I couldn't do this show without it, I tell you. Y'all been awful good to me over there, Happy Broadbent and all those. All you guys. All right, well, thanks. It's been Steve Moody, and thanks. We'll talk to you next week, Steve.
All right, Ursula.
All righty. Well, Ultimate Eagle went into the November 27 running in the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby off a score in the Grade 3 Oak Tree Derby. Made it 2 in a row. Beat Imagining by Giants Causeway. Western Aristocrat by Mr. Greeley. Boosted his earnings over $329,000. So you can add Ultimate Eagle's name to the ever-growing list of superior runners sired by Mizzen Mass. Runners like Mass Track, Grade 1 stakes win of over $928,000. Midships, Grade 1 stakes win of over $528,000. Grade 2 stakes winner Jaboom, win of over $487,000. Grade 2 winner Madeo, earner of more than $481,000. Grade 3 stakes winner C-Speak, Grade 3 stakes winner Strike the Bell. 25 stakes winners, plus another 15 that are placed in stakes. There is always another Mizzen Mass. So, if you want a runner in your racing stable, take a close look at Mizzen Mass. It stands for 12,500 live foal. Stands at Judmont Farm with the beautifully bred Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense by Unbridled Song out of Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. First Defense stands for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website, judmont.com. Well, there are just 4 graded stakes around the country run last week, and Associates of McCauley Brothers won 2 of them. That's half of them. Silver Medallion, bred by Burton C. Jones and from the first crop by the Airdrie Stud Stallion Badge of Silver, won the Grade 3 Tropical Turf Handicap at Calder, and the Grade 3 Native Diver Handicap at Hollywood Park went to Kettle Corn. It was bred by Jim Plemons. Clients of McCauley Brothers have bred or raised the winners of 115 graded stakes and 24 individual Grade 1 stakes winners this year. Proof positive of the quality of the feeds and supplements produced by McCauley Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to devote 100% of their time, efforts, and research developing products exclusively for the horse. Just think about that. the winners of 115 graded stakes, 24 individual grade one stakes winners in 1 year now. Then let McCauley Brothers put you in the winner's circle. Just call Darrell Ward or Mike Warren at 873-3333 and come to the open house on Tuesday, December 13th from 10 until 3 at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. I want to talk a little bit about my friend Jim Fitzgerald, owner of Knott Griffin Farm. Jim's got Knott Griffin for sale right now. Of course, he's got two lovely farms. And the way the horse business is nowadays, probably doesn't need but one. But they're both great facilities. And Jim has done raised a lot of runners right there. Had a good two-year-old winner just the other day out at Hollywood Park. A horse named Sky Keenum, the empire maker of the Jim bred. Won a maiden special out there in very impressive fashion. But he's raised a whole lot of runners over there on Knott Griffin Farm. And Jim's in Harper's Island is the name of his other farm. But Knott Griffin and Harper's Island, they do boarding and sales prep and sales, public or private, doesn't make any difference. Rehab, you name it, they can do it. And he's got quality farm help and can give just some, if you're getting into the business, or if you're in the business, you're not too happy with the way things are going, well, Jim can just give you some sound, common sense advice. And he's somebody you can trust. Let me give you his website, Knott Griffin Farm. That's KnockGriffinFarm.com. And Jim's phone number is 987-8032. That's Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin Farm.
I'm heading down the highway, had tears running both eyes. Thinking of my folks and friends, sunny
Southern. All righty, well, believe it or not, I'm going to have time to talk about First Landing, who was the champion two-year-old of 1958. I have time because my guest decided not to come today, I guess. I'll talk to him later. I'm going to, maybe he forgot. Yeah. We'll be kind and say he forgot. We're easily forgettable.
Well, that's true.
Well, anyway, First Landing was by turn two out of a great producer named Hildine, a bubbling by Bubbling Over. She was Bubbling Over, if I recall, was by North Star, a horse that won the, won the top races over as a two-year-old over in England, Middle something stakes. One of the better two-year-old races, anyway. And was in a North Star, and was imported over here to Idlehour Farm, Colonel R. Bradley. And, of course, he started Bubbling Over. The First Landing was owned by and bred by the Meadow Stables. That's Christopher Chenery. And he was the last of five stakes winners produced by Hildine. The first was a gilding named Manohick by Sunbow, who won the Rumsen and the Fleetwing handicaps, ran 97 times with 23 wins. Now, he was a foal in 1944. The next one was Hill Prince, and Hill Prince was one of the horses that put Prince Quillo on the map. He was the champion two-year-old of his year, champion three-year-old of his year, champion older male. Started 30 times, won 17 races, won the Preakness, won the Jockey Club Gold Cup, won the Wood, won 10 other stakes, ran second in the Kentucky Derby, got beat by a King Ranch bred named Middle Ground. That's got nothing to do with what I was trying to think of a little bit earlier. But Hill Prince, of course, went on and sired 23 stakes winners. He was a very good sire. Sired Middle Brother and Riley. His best runners were fillies, Levy and Bayou. He was the broodmare sire of Shuvie, who was, of course, a great race mare, one of the top race mares of the 20th century, and a daughter of Najwa. Dark Mirage, who was by Persian Road the second, beautiful little filly, very tiny. She broke down in training, but she won all three of the filly Triple Crown races up in New York. And he was also, it was a broodmare sire, 49 stakes winners, so could go on there. Hildine's third foal was a foal in 1951 named Prince Hill, also by Prince Gilly. He was a gilding. He won 8 of his 57 starts, won the Longfellow Handicap, died as a 5-year-old. And her last stakes winner, other than First Landing, was a foal in 1953 named Third Brother, another Prince Quillo. And he started, ran 69 times, won 9 races, won the Roamer, the Camden, and the Bowie, won the Long Island Handicap, placed in 17 other stakes, placed in the Jockey Club Gold Cup twice, and the Suburban to Brooklyn. And he died in 1964 at age 11. He did sire while he was in stud. One very good racehorse, Roman Brother, who was a champion 3-year-old for his year, and won over $943,000. And, of course, then Fifth Landing was her fifth stakes winner. Hill Dean was also the grandam of the champion filly Sakata, who was by a horse named Brian G. It's not Cicada, according to, but Sakata. They pronounce the bug Cicada, but I asked Miss Chenery, when I had her on the show, how to pronounce it, and she said Kanata, Sakata. So that's the way we're going to pronounce it.
All right.
Mr. Chenery bought Hill Dean as a yearling, paid $750 for her in 1939. Eight years later, he paid $30,000 for the stakes winning mare Imperatrice. And she produced 6 stakes winners for him and, of course, was the Grand Dam of Secretariat. So those two mares really made the meadow stable as far as the Hill Dean, who was a $750,000 purchase, and Imperatrice, who he bought for $30,000. Turn 2, the sire of First Landing, was by Royal Charger. Turn 2 was a foal of 1951. Royal Charger out of Source Secree by Admiral Drake. Bred in Ireland by E.R. Millville and Mrs. G.C. Hastings. And he was imported to the USA, turned to was as a yearling, and went to over to Claiborne Farm. And Claiborne sold him for $20,000 as a yearling to Captain Harry F. Guggenheim, who raced under the name of Keen Horse Stables. And turn 2 was the last Irish conceived crop by Royal Charger. Royal Charger, of course, moved to Spencery Farm back when Leslie Combs II had. Turn 2 was the coal highweight on the 1953 experimental handicap with Porterhouse, who raced for Langolan Farm. And he was by horse name in Argentina, I think it was Argentine. He's South American, I know that. A horse named Endeavor II, who was, if I'm not mistaken, he came up here to run in the Washington, D.C. International, and then went on and became a very good sire. Of course, Porterhouse was a champion, co-champion 2-year-old that year. Turn 2 won the Garden State Stakes and the Saratoga Special. The latter race through the disqualification of Porterhouse, interestingly enough. He won his first 3 starts as a 3-year-old, then he bowled a tendon in the near 4 in March, and went to stud over Claiborne Farm. And he was an immediate success, a leading first crop sire, just went on from there. Sired First Landing, course, Hail to Reason, Sir Gaylord, Best Turn over at Calumet. Great big horse. He stood over 17 hands. And I went over there to see him back when he was at Claiborne, and gee whiz, he was a big horse. Couldn't believe it, you know. I mean, I think their stalls were a little elevated anyway. They were, but you looked in there and you said, my God, I told you, how big is this horse anyway? But he was a very good sire. And, of course, Turn 2 was also the broodmare sire of Horse of the Year, Ack-Ack, who was another very good sire. First Landing, as a 2-year-old, won 10 of his 11 starts. Finished 2nd in his first start at Jamaica on April the 14th to Restless Wind, who, if I remember correctly, also raced for Langolan and was sired by an imported horse named Windy City the 2nd. I saw him run Windy City run in the Santa Anita Derby of 1952, I believe it was, and he pulled up bad in that race, and Hillgale won it. Of course, Hillgale went on and won the Derby that year for Calumet Farm. But he was moved up to getting back to first landing. He was moved up to first by the disqualification. Arcaro was on him that day. Arcaro rode him all through his two-year-old season. 9 days later, he won another race. His first stakes win came in the juvenile over at Belmont over Watch Your Step. Watch Your Step was a two-year-old by Citation. Baghdad ran third. He was by Double J. He went to stud down at Claiborne Farm. Won an allowance race at Jamaica on July the 17th. Then he won the Great American Stakes, also at Jamaica, by a neck over a horse named Atoll. A-T-O-L-L. And I can't remember what he was by. Sent him over to Saratoga. He won the Saratoga Special by 7. Came right back and won the Hopeful by 5.5 lengths. You know, they've downgraded the Hopeful to a grade 2. And that's one of the things Jay Hovday was writing about, which how sad that was that happened. Then let's see, on September the 20th, he lost his first race, got beat a length by Intentionally, a Son of Intent. In the Futurity, they went 6.5 furlongs, won 14-3. That'll beat you. Of course, it was down to Widener Chute. On October 11th, he got revenge for his only loss, beaten Intentionally in the Champagne Stakes. Tommy Lee had finished second, but he was moved back to third. Of course, Tommy Lee won the Derby the next year, beating Sword Dancer in a great duel. And the last two starts were at Garden State. He won a prep for the Garden State Stakes, and then he won the Garden State Stakes by head over Tommy Lee, who was by two to Minstrel. And incidentally, Sword Dancer ran third that day, and next year in the Derby, those were the top three finishers in the Kentucky Derby. Only reversed a little bit. It was Tommy Lee, Sword Dancer, and First Landing. The following spring, those three met, as I said, that was in the 85th Derby, and Tommy Lee went off at 370-1, Sword Dancer at 880-1, and First Landing at 360-1, so he was a slight favorite. So we'll be talking a little bit more about First Landing when we get up to 1959 three-year-olds, if we ever do. Of course, he did go on later on and sired a pretty good horse named Reba Ridge, who won the Derby. Well, Awesome Again is a sire of 9 2011 stakes winners and earners of more than $6,551,000 to once again rank among the nation's leading sires. Stands for $50,000 live full, and one of his 9 2011 stakes winners is a courageous Game On Dude, dead game second in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Of course, Awesome Again has already sired a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he's sired 12 grade 1 stakes winners, and one of the 12 is the brilliant De Hare. De Hare won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, posting a 1:14 by speed figure. And he out-sprinted champion sprinter Midnight Loop that day. He also won the Grade 2 Jerome at Belmont, going a mile in 1:34-1. Went to first three quarters and 8 and change. He was dubbed by Steve Haskin as freaky fast. And De Hare has already proven his ability to sire runners. He was retired late in the breeding season and represented by only 6 foals in his first crop. And he sired a nice stakes winner in that from 6 foals. His two-year-old daughter, Gypsy Robin, won a first start out of Keeneland by 7.5 lengths in record time, and has since won the $100,000 sorority stakes at Mama. So here you have a brilliant miler by a highly successful sire of a mare that's produced 2 grade 1 stakes winners, standing for 7,500 live foal. Remember, rib Gypsy Robin, and then breed to De Hare in 2012. For 7,500 live foal, he stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes. See the website at ShadwellFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, Homie backs a multiple graded stakes winner of more than $872,000. He won the Grade 2 Lane's End Stakes, the Grade 3 Dominion Day Handicap, and ran second in the historic Travers and second in the Grade 1 Bluegrass. He was precocious at 2, winning his first two starts, the first at Arlington, the second at Keeneland. He was a runner, and he has a great pedigree. He is sired by Giants Causeway, the sire in 2011 of 21 stakes winners and the earners of over $11,484,000 to, once again, rank number one on the general sire list. Homie backs Dam is the daughter of leading sire and bridal Song. He ranks 10th on the general sire list. And the superior mare, Avowal. Avowal earned the Severn Award as champion three-year-old filly and champion sprinter. And she was a superb producer. There are over 18 black type runners listed under her name. This is the family of the great Tom Fool, of Champion Aunt Jenny, and a host of others. Homie Back received a quality book of merit in his first season at stud. First foal is going to arrive next year. Stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Jenny Barnett. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
Run that bison one more time. Tell me how you never cheat on me.
All righty. Okay, well, let me open the book here. And, Jerry, I'm filling in all these readings to fill the gap that you've created by not showing up today.
I want to mention something.
Go ahead.
When you made your CD of Joe Palmer, things that he had written, which are on sale still, Ralph Quillen has them out of Quillen Tack.
Oh,
he still has some, if anyone's interested. But when we did that, it created some attention, and we got sent to us by someone, I thanked him, but I don't remember his name, but we got every column.
Well, it was a fan, the Joe Palmer Fan Club. It's located in New Jersey, of all places.
Yeah, and he sent us a 2-inch thick stack
of columns written.
Of columns, all the columns that Joe Palmer has ever written.
Well, written while he was at that paper in New York.
Yeah. And they're out at Keeneland. We sent them out to Keeneland. They're in the library.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if anybody is interested in the future of those are very well written, and it's just quite a nice, complete collection.
All righty. Let me see here. Let me read All Foals Day. All right. This is another Joe Palmer.
Good.
All right. You will be told, if you ask, that the reason for having a universal birthday for thoroughbreds on January 1 is to avoid confusion, and that otherwise some candidates for the Kentucky Derby might not be eligible, not having reached their actual birthday by the first Saturday in May. This is merely pablum. The real reason is to keep horses from having birthdays. An exception was Man of War, described by his handler, Will Harbert, as the onlyest horse to have a birthday. It was, as of course you know, on March 29. I went to one of the celebrations and got nothing worse than champagne and Happy Chandler. Mr. Chandler, at that time, loved racing more than he loved baseball because he was governor of Kentucky, and his electorate felt something more akin to the one than to the other. But what with the champagne, it was not difficult to take. Man of War seemed a little surprised, but he bore up well. It was, in fact, quite a birthday. Brush Up, the Dam of War Admiral, dropped a filly that morning, assisted a Man of War's most successful son. Clem McCarthy fed the big red horse a wreath of carrots, which Suffolk Downs had sent down. The radio hookup got international, and Reginald and Bruce Hobbs, who had, respectively, trained and ridden another son of Man of War, Battleship, for his victory in the Grand National at Aintree, got on the air from England. There were two birthday cakes, probably ultimately eaten by the grooms at Faraway, because Man of War preferred to have his cake. Somehow, in one of the addresses, Man of War got mixed up with Henry Clay, though the connection was a little hard to follow. It was, so to speak, an affair. But the real blow to birthday parties for horses were dealt on January 1, 1937. You can hardly be expected to remember Ballot, unless you were at Gravesend in 1906, when he won the Neptune Stakes, or at Newmarket, when he won the Select Stakes in 1909. He sired some fair horses, including Tannery, which nearly broke Central Kentucky's twice because he could beat anybody's horse at Lexington and nobody's horse anywhere else. When Tannery ran eighth behind Gallant Fox in the Kentucky Derby in 1930, most of the older families around Lexington began digging in the basement in the hope that there might be a few pieces of silver still buried there. Ballop lived to be 33. In his last year, he became the property of a feed company, which used him extensively for advertising purposes, though Ballard had grown up on plain hay and oats and had never previously met the prepared feed he was advertising. But it was a very good deal for the horse, because he got the best of care and more attention than he had for some years. Ballard had actually been foaled on April 18, 1904, in observation of Paul Revere's ride. But because very few horses of registered breeds have reached their 33rd birthday, it was decided to celebrate Ballard's on the official date, January 1. This was done at Keeneland, and everyone concerned should have known better. This was no great while after the repeal of the Noble Experiment, and the distillers had not quite caught up with the demand. The beverage provided for the occasion had been allowed to cool before it was bottled, but that was about all. Even Kentuckians could not quite go against it in its raw state, and it was consequently contaminated with vermouth. The result was pronounced to be a Manhattan, though I doubt if Manhattan would have owned it. It was pretty far uptown. Humphrey Finney, who now helps the Fazy Tipton Company sell horses at Saratoga, was scheduled to be the toastmaster, but he became ill, which was a sensible thing as he ever did. The job devolved on Thomas R. Underwood, now Senator from Kentucky, but then Secretary to the Kentucky State Racing Commission. Senator Underwood is normally a sensible, thoughtful, and even cautious man for a Democrat, but he allowed himself to be stampeded by a question from one of the guests. He arose and proposed a toast to Ballard as a suckling. This was drunk with acclaim. Shortly afterward, a toast was proposed to Ballard as a weaning. The next one was to Ballard as a yearling. As noted, the horse was 33 years old, and to steal slightly from Mr. Kipling, a man cannot drink 35 toasts, since the suckling and weaning toasts were for a time when Ballard was 0 years old. In uptown Manhattan's without remembering the pit from which he has been digged and descending thither. Well, one of the celebrants was encountered last year while I was taking the children to the Museum of Natural History. I recognized him right away and went over and read the sign of the case. It said, despite certain discrepancies in dress, this mummy is believed to date from the time of the latter Ptolemies, remarkably well preserved. Another of Ballop's guests brought off another rather long odds and made it home. Late that afternoon, a friend stopped past on some trifling errand and rang the bell. As it chanced, the cook answered it. "Is Mr. Blank here?" he asked. "Well, yeah," said the cook, giggling a little. "He's here, all right. But that's all. That's absolutely all." The visitor, being a sensible man who did not have to be hit over the head with a church steeple, said, "Thank you, Lizzie," and went back down the walk. That's from one of Joe Palmer's. Well, Tisway was represented by graded stakes winners at Churchill and Aqueduct on November 25, and another graded stakes winner at Hollywood Park on November 4. That's three graded stakes winners in 10 days. He is also the sire of 2011 Grade 1 stakes winners Tisway and of undefeated two-year-old Tis Wonderful, winner of two graded stakes at Churchill. And both Tisway and Tis Wonderful stand at Spendthrift Farm. Tisway, with victories in this year in the Grade 1 Whitney and Grade 1 Metropolitan and Grade 2 Kelso, is a leading candidate for champion older horse. He blazed a mile and won 32-4 in the Metropolitan, and he bested flat out in the Whitney for earnings of over $1,359,000. Tis Wonderful broke his maiden by 12.5 lengths at Saratoga and then won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and the Grade 3 Iroquois. His first foals are yearlings. Six were sold for over $100,000 this year, two for $150,000, and 10 for more than $75,000. So if they run back to the looks, they're going to be sensational two-year-olds. Tisway's 2010 stud fee is $25,000 doing a full stanza nurses. and be sure to ask about Spendthrift's Share the Upside program. 'Tis Wonderful stands for $12,500. Due When the Fold stands in Nurses. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, and Sean Fell, and Ned Toffee, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Well, we're having a pretty good month out here
at the training center as far as saddling winners. So far, we've had 19 winners this month, and that's 19 winners in 9 days.
That's great.
That's a little better than two a day.
That's wonderful.
Now, if I knew just which ones were going to do it, we could,
I know, we could
run a hell of a parlay there, couldn't we? Well, let's see who saddled all these winners. Well, I'm going to put the lead one on first. John Booker. John Booker Jr., incidentally, that's Jr. His daddy also trains mostly down at Mountaineer, and he runs under Johnny Booker, and then his son is John Booker Jr.
Okay.
I think he usually goes south in the winter, but I think he's going to spend a winter with us this year.
It's a great place. The track couldn't be better.
Yeah, the track was great this morning.
It was.
Yeah, it really was. Anyway, he took Fortune Play down to Turfway on the third of December and saddled her to win the Holiday Inaugural Stakes. And that's that filly. Say he'd won stakes with her also at Churchill a little bit earlier this year. And so she's a nice filly. John's done a real good job with that filly. Other winners were saddled by Tommy Short, Paul Garcia, Jim Dodgen, Brian Kane, Paul Garcia, another one, Kellen Gorder, Tom Bergen, Wayne Mogi. Now, Wayne, as I explained earlier, he trained here for all summer long, but he's gone now. But I remember this filly real well, a filly named AP Diva, and I clocked her several times here, but he hadn't been gone but about a week. 9 days, he left the first. So he hadn't worked that filly anywhere else, only works showing where TTC works. So anyway, we're counting it, Wayne, even though you've split your stable, taken one half to Florida and then left one at Turfway. He lives up by Turfway, incidentally. Tommy Skinner, Byron, Scooter Hughes, Jimmy Corrigan, Eduardo Caramori, Melvin Kendrick, Kellen Gorder, another one, Tanya Bolmitas. Last night, we had three winners yesterday, at Mountaineer. Bill Hickey won with Dabba Dabba. Scooter Hughes won with Got Zip at Turfway. And Jim Dodgen won with Dixie Gone Wild at Turfway. So that's 15 winners in a day, in a week, and 19 for the month so far. So we're...
That's very good.
Right on schedule. Right on schedule. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
And don't forget, Windstar Farm is auctioning some of their racing memorabilia. It's going to benefit New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program. It's up and running at stablemates.windstarfarm.com. We'll run from yesterday through the 13th. What's that, Tuesday, I think?
Uh-huh.
And it's wonderful stuff. Drosselmeyer's Breeders' Cup Classic Paddock Blanket. A rose from the 2010 Kentucky Derby winner Super Savers Winner's Blanket. Halters from Tisnow Super Saver and Drosselmeyer and some smaller stuff. Breeders' Cup hats, autographed Breeders' Cup hats. A really nice thing to do for racetrack.
Yeah, don't forget Macaulay Brothers Open House.
Open House is 10 till 3 on Tuesday down in Versailles to meet the new...
111 Broadway.
Yeah.
In Versailles.
Everybody knows where Macaulay's is.
Boy, they're having a heck of a year. People, clients of Macaulay's having a heck of a year. Well, that song means it's time to spit out the bit. And we're on the regular time again next week.
Amazing.
All the way to the 31st. New Year's Day, we'll have to come on early.
Okay.
But that's all right, you know. We can go home and celebrate.
Yeah, for that.
New Year's Day, not New Year's Eve. We'll want to thank Mary Jane down at the studio and Ressy Dukes right here. And thank you, guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
until we meet again. Happy Friday.